The Giants are building an entirely new infrastructure in their organization with the hiring of John Harbaugh, a new reporting structure. That's right, the Giants have a new reporting structure. That's the first time that they've changed the reporting structure in their 100-year history. That is how significant the hiring of John Harbaugh is to this football team. Analytics, that's a buzzword that we've heard for a very long time, and the New York Giants have never really embraced that buzzword, but now they don't have any choice. They've signed the contract with John Harbaugh, and he is one of the most analytically forward-thinking people in the entire sport. He lives and dies by the data, and now the New York Giants will too. So we're going to go ahead and react to that, discuss all of the new details that are coming out and reports coming out about how the Giants nearly fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line with John Harbaugh to get that contract signed. There were delays over the weekend. He finally signs the deal on Saturday afternoon, but now, according to Ian O'Connor of The Athletic, it got a little dicey there for a minute. There was a chance for the Titans to swoop in. There was a moment where John Harbaugh questioned whether or not the deal would get done. And what was the cause for the delay? A disagreement, potentially, on reporting structure. John Harbaugh wanted it in writing that he reports directly to ownership. He does not report to the general manager. He does not report to Joe Shane. He and Joe Shane both report to ownership directly. And also included in this report from Ian O'Connor, who has final say on decisions? John Harbaugh. This is now a head coach-run organization, not a general manager-run organization, for the first time in the New York Giants' 100-year history. Repeating that point so you guys understand how monumental of a change this is for the New York Giants. I'm Anthony Rivardo. This is Fireside Giants. That's my co-host, Alex Wilson. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? How are you feeling about the Giants' new John Harbaugh era that's going to embrace analytics and see the head coach be the leading man in charge?
I mean, why weren't we using analytics before? I'm doing pretty good, by the way. I'm just like, wait, didn't Joe Shane overhaul the entire front office in terms of usage of analytics and, you know, how they go about structuring draft prospects and free agency? I thought they were already integrated analytics. I guess his version is vastly different, but I mean, Harbaugh made it pretty clear that they're going to be introducing a lot more of that. And that's cutting edge football for you. The Baltimore Ravens are one of the best organizations when it comes to the structure and the program they have, but also evaluating talent, maximizing talent, how to actually find the value. And the Giants have been one of the worst, despite the fact that, you know, Joe Shane modernized the system, which to me seems more like he just put some fancy screens up and didn't really do anything else to enhance things. But, you know, we saw the nice board, all the colors they put. Oh, this guy's red color. This guy's a black color. This guy's a blue color. It didn't mean anything. We still drafted guys with problems. You know, we still drafted Evan Neal with poor work ethic. We still drafted Deontay Banks, who barely shows effort on film. You know, how many guys do we have to draft before it's like, okay, the color system doesn't work. But clearly they're going to be approaching this with a much more modernized analytical kind of aesthetic. And that's pretty cool, Anthony, especially because people are doubting John Harbaugh. He's 63 years old. People are saying, well, maybe he's past his prime. Maybe he's too old. Maybe he's on his last leg. This 63-year-old man is about to come here and revolutionize our entire analytics department. So that's a pretty damn good sign that he is going to make a big difference. And I'll throw this in before I pass it back to you. The structure of power, the power complex. John Harbaugh should never be answering to Joe Shane, because that would indicate that Joe Shane has more power and that things have to run through him. No. Joe Shane is going to be learning from John Harbaugh. Let's make that very clear. His entire goal, learn and build the team that Harbaugh wants and the parameters that he sets for leadership and culture. But Anthony, this analytics situation, that's a pretty eye-opening kind of quote there from Harbaugh that I don't think we should take very lightly.
I don't think we should take it lightly, but I also think it's important to add a lot of context to this and discuss what the New York Giants analytics looked like before, what it's going to look like now, and how it looked when the John Harbaugh show was being run with the Baltimore Ravens. What do they have in their analytics department? Well, the reason why John Harbaugh is going to place an emphasis on implementing more analytics with the New York Giants is because, you're right, Alex, Joe Shane did really change the way that the Giants operate, and he did bake analytics into their approach in the front office. However, that approach, that analytics, has not reached game days. The Giants do not use analytics on game days to the extent that the Baltimore Ravens did. This is really interesting stuff here when you read about John Harbaugh and the way that he coached. So one thing that you're going to find out if you do some research on Harbaugh and analytics, he always had somebody in his ear speaking to him, spitting numbers, data, and probabilities in his ear at all time. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. So how this worked for John Harbaugh, imagine you're on the sideline, you're John Harbaugh, you've got the headset on. In one ear, you're hearing Greg Roman or Todd Monken, your offensive coordinator, calling the plays and kind of relaying the information with you as the OC. Okay, that makes sense. Now you've got the special teams coordinator. He's relaying the information to you. Makes sense. Then you've got the defensive coordinator also relaying messages to you on the headset. Okay, those are the three guys you probably want to hear from at all times on your headset. But the fourth guy for John Harbaugh, this is the guy that not everybody else has. And this is the football data analyst for John Harbaugh. It was David Stern. That's the guy who was working in the Baltimore Ravens coaching booth, sitting next to the offensive coordinator and feeding information and analytics to John Harbaugh through his headset on game days. That's kind of revolutionary. That's a big deal for the New York Giants. They've never had something like that. That's something that only a select few teams have, but the Baltimore Ravens are one of those teams. So what did that mean for the Ravens? It meant aggression. It meant calculated risks. It wasn't the Baltimore Ravens taking risks because, hey, that's what John Harbaugh's gut was telling him. No, he was never making a decision based on his gut, based on his instincts. He was always making a decision based on what the data says. What is the probability of a win if we make this move? What is the probability of the move of a win if this is the outcome of this decision? Those are the things that David Stern was constantly feeding into the headset for John Harbaugh to consider while he's making crucial in-game decisions. That's the big difference maker. So you're right, there's going to be a football research department. That's something that the Baltimore Ravens have had for a long time. The football research department, that's not only the game day analytics, but also the analytics that the New York Giants are lacking in the front office and player scouting and player development, all of those things. But the game day analytics is going to be a big difference maker. So what does that mean for you as a New York Giants fan? Next year, when you're watching the Giants, if it's 4th-and-2, gotta have it, John Harbaugh is going to go for it. That's the difference here. Maybe there were times where in the past, okay, why is Brian Daboll punting here? All of a sudden, now he's not punting. Remember how that happened a couple times this past season, Alex? The Giants had some weird decisions where they didn't punt one possession. Then the next possession, it's like, okay, you probably should punt now because you did last time. You know what I'm saying? So John Harbaugh, though, he's always got the data in his headset, so he's going to know what decision to make in each of those situations so the Giants can be calculated in their risks, but also play a very aggressive brand of football. So I'll let you kind of give your thoughts on that. I think it's really exciting stuff. I think that it's really innovative. Harbaugh's always been on the cutting edge of data analytics and kind of infusing it into football, so I'm really excited for him to bring that here to the New York Giants.
Yeah, you want to know another word for that is? Quality control, something the Giants have not necessarily had. And even if they call them a quality control coach, even if that's something that they employ, whoever that was not doing their job. Because when you look at the decision making from the Giants, you know, for example, let's paint a picture of the Giants need to make a stop against the Dallas Cowboys. And this specific play call works X amount of time compared to this specific play call when, you know, opposing teams are running, I don't know, they have to throw downfield. They have to throw 20 plus yards downfield. This specific play design works more favorably, whatever that context might look like. The Giants would have the analytics to support them in what play call has the best probability of limiting a big play or maximizing on offense even. And I think that's where the Giants got really messed up is that they did not lean on analytics. A lot of times they just leaned on gut. And you can't lean on Shane Bowen's gut, brother. You can't give Shane Bowen, and obviously he's no longer here, but more so the importance of you can't let a bad coach not factor in numbers and analytics and objective analysis into their decision-making, right? Because Shane Bowen multiple times made the same exact mistakes and the Giants refused to fix them. And that's Brian Daboll's fault at the end of the day because he's the head coach. John Harbaugh, yeah, like there's been moments, I'm not going to sit here and like pretend like John Harbaugh hasn't had his own moments, but I can tell you one thing, if that happened one time, you can guarantee it's not happening again. They're not going to make that same mistake twice. So I think that's kind of the interesting thing. If you're the Giants and I think if you're John Harbaugh, what you're bringing to this team and the analytics behind it, you're going to have a much cleaner brand of football. You're going to have a lot of better plays. You know, you can't make a player make a play, but I think the play calls will be a lot more contextualized and a lot more situational than what the Giants tend to do in the past, which was just do whatever the coaches wanted with no analytics or no support and no feedback and no changing and no altering and no upgrading and no updating and no enhancing. And it just never worked. And I think that the Giants are going to take a big step forward in resolving a lot of those problems.
Absolutely. It's about having a math wizard basically in your ear. That's what's going to make the difference here. And that's what John Harbaugh had in Baltimore. Expect him to bring probably Stern with him over to the New York Giants or find somebody else to fill that role and be his analytical and data wizard in his ear at all times while he's on the sideline calling the games. Because, you know, you kind of referenced Shane Bowen. I'll even reference Mike Kafka and kind of point to a couple of specific situations this season where having a kind of data wizard in your ear could have helped the New York Giants. So think about the game where the Giants lost to the Detroit Lions. On that second down, they throw the ball. Yeah, the guy is open, but it falls incomplete anyway. So it was a good play call because it could have worked. However, the data tells you, well, if you ran the ball there, you could have ran the clock down some more, probably scored on third down, and then, okay, you end up winning the game because the clock has gone down. That was a data failure, right? The New York Giants approach there did not match what the data told you to do. So the Giants ended up losing that football game. How about against the Denver Broncos when the Giants were throwing in the clutch there? Well, if you ran the clock out, you probably win that game. You don't have to worry about Jackson Dart throwing that interception because he kept the ball on the ground and you killed all the clock. Now the Broncos have no timeouts and under 2 minutes to go. So the Giants would have ended up winning that game. How would you know that? Well, the data would tell you that. That's what John Harbaugh is going to have in his ear at all times so that the Giants do not mess up their situational play calling anymore. Because that's what I'll say. I don't even think Mike Kafka is a bad play caller, but I do think that in situational play calls, he really struggled over the last several years. I think he's a bad situational play caller. In the clutch, gotta have it moments, you know, certain swing state positions for the game, right? If something happens here, it'll completely change the outcome of the game. That's where I felt like Mike Kafka was failing all the time for the New York Giants. But that is where John Harbaugh succeeds because of analytics. And that's really the difference here for the Giants. So a nice discussion on the analytics, how that's going to change for the Giants. Their approach on game days should look a lot different. They're going to be more aggressive, but the risks will be calculated. That's the important aspect here. It's no longer being aggressive because, hey, Harbaugh's gut is telling him to be aggressive like it maybe was for Dable. No, it's going to be aggressive because that's what the data says to do. And that's pretty fun. That's pretty exciting for me. And I think that that is hopefully going to lead the Giants to have better game management, quality control, like you mentioned, and situational play calling. And hopefully as a result, they win more games. Because honestly, you look at it, how many one-score games did the Giants lose this season? A lot of that was because of poor decision-making in the clutch. And that is a result of not being in tune with the analytics and having the right data to make proper decisions. So let's circle back to the other topic of discussion, though, Alex, because this is a big, meaty one to bite into. Pause. New York Giants have a new structure. John Harbaugh is the CEO. Joe Shane is now working in tandem with John Harbaugh. Let me hear your thoughts on it, because I kind of want to just get your perspective on how monumental of a shift this is for a Giants organization that for 100 years, the GM called all the shots. Now the head coach is calling the shots. Big deal.
It's a huge deal, and ultimately, I think that if you're John Mara and your ownership, or Steve Tisch, and you know Joe Shane just, I think, barely kept his job in the end. They kind of were like, we don't want to blow it all up. Harbaugh to Joe Shane is a mentor. That's how, if I was ownership of the Giants, what I'd be selling to Joe Shane. This dude has been an 18-year vet in the NFL. He's won a Super Bowl. He's worked with some of the best, you know, Ozzie Newsome. Obviously, you have you know, Eric DaCosta. Like, he's worked with some of the best general managers, you know, ever. So it's like he has a thing or two to teach you. And if you're Joe Shane, you're taking this opportunity to learn as much as humanly possible. And because of that, Harbaugh does not want to have to run things by, you know, Joe Shane. And Joe Shane and now and Harbaugh now have the same amount of power in theory. They both answer to John Mara, right? That's kind of the MO. There are two guys. And let's be clear. That is a really good thing, not just because John Harbaugh deserves to have that much power, but that way John Mara has the full scope of what's happening within the organization. I think at times John Mara was being given the kind of runaround from Joe Shane, and it was a salesman's pitch. You know what I mean? He was selling to John Mara, we're okay, the team's fine, we're doing okay, this player's going to do this, and it was complete bullshit. Like, he was selling him a dead horse, basically. And I don't think that John Harbaugh is going to let that happen. I think John Harbaugh is going to open up a line of communication to John Mara that says, hey, like, John Mara can now call Harbaugh up and say, Is Joe Shane doing what he needs to be doing? Is he getting you the pieces? Is he doing what has to be done? This is now a much cleaner line of communication. It can't go from John Mara to one person, or John Mara to Joe Shane to everybody else. You know, that's a bad line of communication, and that's probably why, you know, Brian Daboll was kind of felt like he was on the outside of things a lot of times. Like, ownership stepped in and fired Daboll. Like, ownership made all these decisions. It's like, it kind of felt like there was a huge power dynamic that just didn't make sense within the organization. Harbaugh just dropped a nuke into the middle of that, right? Harbaugh just said, not anymore. You know, you have to respect my opinion, and John and Mara, the Mara family, the Tisch family, you guys now have a direct line of communication to me and what I'm building here. And if you want my insights, if you want my take, if you want my perspective, now Joe Shane can't hide behind scapegoats anymore. And I'm not saying that he will have to, but Joe Shane did a damn good job painting everybody else as the victim and the enemy, because everybody got fired except for him. Everybody. The entire coaching staff is about to get fired for the most part, and Joe Shane's the one guy that survived. So now there'll be more accountability across the board. It won't be like this one guy is going to survive. Everybody's now accountable because everybody has that line of communication. I also think Harbaugh, you know, you got to trust this guy. Everybody wanted it, man. I mean, you saw the Ian O'Connor piece, Anthony. The Tennessee Titans were on the board still when he were having those conversations, like, please, like, if anything happens, let us know. Apparently, there was another owner that was ready to fly to Harbaugh just to offer him a nine-figure salary per year. There were teams lined up, and it's probably the Falcons. There were teams lined up ready to make a jump at Harbaugh, despite the fact he already told them he was canceling his meetings. He had already told them he was canceling his meetings, and all these teams were still lined up to go get Harbaugh. So if you're questioning the importance of Harbaugh choosing the Giants, there was 3, 4, 5 other teams begging to still get him even after he shut them out. So that's a damn good sign of the respect that he commands, the talent that he has, and the impact that he's going to have on this organization. And I couldn't be more excited about it. And that line of communication he's opening to ownership makes everybody accountable. There is nobody hiding in the dark anymore. There's nobody blaming other people for their own mistakes. Now it's a full organization accountability. Everybody's name is on the board. And I think that is so important for just the chemistry and synergy between everybody in the organization.
It is. They have a real leader in charge. Somebody with pedigree, right? This is a Super Bowl champion. This is an 18-year successful coach. He's done it for nearly 2 decades. We know what John Harbaugh is, and we know that he knows the right way to get the job done. So the New York Giants, now they have playoff expectations. John Harbaugh himself said as much. He said he wants to compete for playoffs, compete for championships, and he thinks and expects the New York Giants to compete for the playoffs as early as next season. That's the expectation that John Harbaugh has put out there. And you know what? I expect it too. You went out there, you made the big swing, you put all your eggs in one basket, New York Giants, you pursued the big whale and you caught it. Now, you gotta get to the playoffs, right? Like, you have to deliver on the second half of this promise. First half of the promise, all right, you're revamping the organization because you're getting the big fish. Second half of the promise is to actually see that be the successful move that we all envision it could be. Don't get in the way. Don't mess it up. Let John Harbaugh run his show, because there are so many different things that he's going to change within this organization. Like I said, the entire structure is different now. And also, I want to kind of take a side quest here, Alex, to talk about Chris Mara. I know we're talking about John Harbaugh, how he's now reporting directly to John Mara. We're talking about John Harbaugh implementing analytics. Let me just take a side quest here to say that Chris Mara is now one of the most prominent voices within the organization of the New York Giants, and it's very interesting. So if you're reading through Ian O'Connor of The Athletic's report earlier today, you're going to see that Chris Mara played probably the most integral role of anybody in bringing John Harbaugh to the New York Giants. We all heard about their first meeting that they had last weekend, right? I think it was on Saturday when they had the first in-person interview with him. That was Chris Mara heading over to Baltimore and meeting in person with John Harbaugh at his house. Well, they also had a secret second interview over this past weekend to get the deal done. That was Chris Mara going and out of his way, really, to speak with John Harbaugh again and get him to put his signature on the contract. So I got to give major credit to Chris Mara. I got to say thank you, Chris Mara. Thank you for showing up and doing something, because, hey, he really hasn't been super involved with your organization over the last several years. He kind of was phased out. Years ago, he was passed over for a big role in the front office. This is, you know, according to Ian O'Connor, this is kind of how it shook out. He wanted to be a GM or something otherwise at some point. They passed over him. He saw his position get demoted. And then all of a sudden, when John Mara announced that he was sick, we of course saw Chris Mara take on a larger role. But since he's taken on that larger role, I've honestly been pretty impressed with what he's done, especially with the fact that he played such an important role in hiring John Harbaugh. So credit to Chris Mara. I think that's pretty cool and good stuff. And, you know, as the Giants prepare for a future here with uncertainty in the ownership group, it's good to know that they have already started to get a succession plan going and started to get Chris Mara up to speed and in a leadership position. And so far, so good. So I'm excited to see what he's able to accomplish in the future for the Giants. But back to the stuff of the reporting structure, Alex, I just kind of want to echo some of your sentiments here because I'm very happy, extremely happy that Joe Shane no longer has final say in roster decisions. I think everybody knows I've been very critical of a lot of his roster decisions. So the fact that John Harbaugh is going to have that final say is pretty good. But I also want to clarify for everybody listening, Joe Shane has not been fired. Joe Shane has not been demoted. Yes, his role has been adjusted, as it was announced on this channel, reported by Ian O'Connor that it would be. He reported that here first, which is pretty cool. Shout out to Fireside Giants. He said that Joe Shane was going to adjust his role. Joe Shane has now adjusted his role, but he still has power. He still has authority. He still manages the general New York Giants. He is the GM, but he is now working in tandem with John Harbaugh. And John Harbaugh has told Ian O'Connor and other reporters he really likes Joe Shane. He's excited to work with Joe Shane and that he envisions his partnership with Joe Shane being similar to the partnerships that he had with Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, that is a big stamp of approval from John Harbaugh on Joe Shane. That goes contrary to the beliefs of most New York Giants fans, us included, admittedly, Alex. But we have our faith, we have our confidence and trust in John Harbaugh. So for now, we have to kind of trust him, trust that he can work with Joe Shane and trust that Joe Shane is kind of turning a new leaf. But, you know, kind of what are your thoughts on that? The fact that John Harbaugh is adamant, he's excited to work with Joe Shane and he really likes him.
I mean, that's a huge deal. And I'll give Joe Shane credit for being extremely persistent, you know, with his pursuit. And he was on that plane. He was on that G500, whatever the plane was that Steve Tisch sent down there. Yeah, Joe Shane on there, trapped with Harbaugh for an hour, you know, as they flew back up. And I think that that's ultimately really important. And knowing Joe Shane, I do think he has a bit of an ego, but I also think he got humbled pretty badly recently with Dable being fired. And I do think that the way that that last press conference went, that was televised, not the one that they hid from everybody because the comment section was so bad, but the one before that when the comment section was open, what I saw was a watered down, beaten version of Joe Shane that looked like he had learned a valuable lesson and that he is not always right. And that he took accountability to a degree. I think it was a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you. But I'll give credit to a guy who, you know, kind of showed some humility and did what was best for the organization and went out there and put it all on the line to get John Harbaugh, even if it meant that he was going to lose some power in the organization as the point man. I can give him credit for that. I can give him flowers for that. I got to see wins now. I got to see progress. I got to see good roster construction. I got to see better everything. And I think that will happen because of Harbaugh's presence. But, you know, Joe Shane did a pretty good job of reeling him in, showing that he can be a collaborator, showing that he can be a piece to the puzzle that fits, not that's trying to force its way in. And Chris Mara, shout out to him too, for falling into the role that maybe he belongs in. And I think that Chris Mara has been a little bit trying to figure that out for a long time. He's been all over the place, like player personnel, like he's been everywhere. And I think his role is best in a leadership perspective, you know, just kind of delegating and managing relationships and communicating and being a part of the solution of attracting coaches and attracting talent. I don't think he necessarily needs to be at the forefront of scouting or making roster decisions and stuff like that. Doesn't seem to be his forte. He's better as an owner, you know what I mean? He's better as an owner than he is as an actual scout and director of personnel or whatever that might be. So, you know, I think maybe he's finding his role in the organization. And I'll give him credit with John Mara struggling with cancer, and it seems like he's fighting his balls off right now. And I think Harbaugh, you know, mentioned just how much it took for Mara to rearrange his entire, and they were kind of speaking about this, and I think O'Connor was speaking about how Mara rearranged his entire schedule around, you know, his chemotherapy to go and be involved with all these meetings. That's baller, man. I think Harbaugh saw that and like, That owner wants it, man. Not to mention Jake Harbaugh, John's dad, is like, you'd be an idiot not to choose the Giants. You'd be an idiot to choose a team other than one of the most historic franchises in football that has a young quarterback and some linchpin pieces that you could settle your legacy on. You rebuild the Giants. You bring us back to relevancy. John Harbaugh, you're already a Hall of Famer, but you're a legend now. Your name will be echoed in eternity. We talk about Tom Coughlin as a god around here for what he did in those Super Bowls. Eli Manning was a god. Eli Manning is not Tom Brady. You know, he's not Drew Brees. Like, he came in and had those two big moments and two Super Bowl wins, and that's what defined his legacy. If John Harbaugh can do something in New York in a positive light and push us back to the table, back to the competition, he'll be remembered forever. You know what I mean? That's reality. And I think, you know, his name will be etched in stone here if that's the case. So, you know, that's a big selling point too. There was a lot of selling points, but, you know, definitely kudos to both Joe Shane and Chris Maurer. We're very critical on this podcast. You know us well. We're very, very outspoken when it comes to criticizing things that we do think are bad on this team. But we also have to be very fair. And I think that Chris Maurer and Joe Shane stepped up when they needed them to. And they did a good job reeling in one of the most, you know, impressive coaches in NFL history.
You're right. We can be critical, but really what it is we're honest, we're passionate, and we love the New York Giants and we want to see them be successful. And they've been wildly unsuccessful over the last 10 years. So when things go wrong, we do get frustrated and we do criticize. And we were right to have criticisms, evidenced by the fact that the New York Giants are making sweeping changes to the organization. When we've been criticizing them, what have we been saying? We've been asking them to make sweeping changes, to introduce new departments for football research and scouting, and change the way that the organization operates fundamentally on a day-to-day basis. We were right to criticize, because now the new head coach that we just hired had the same critique as us and is stepping in and making all of the changes that we've asked for, which is why I'm so excited and why I really feel like this is the dawn of a new era for the New York Giants, led by a champion, a real football genius, a savant, John Harbaugh. I can't wait for it. I'm super excited. So you're right, we've been critical in the past, but also I think we're pretty fair, because in our reaction video, when we talked about the New York Giants hiring John Harbaugh, one of the first things I said was, hats off to Joe Shane, man. Joe Shane did an amazing job. That's the first thing that I said. Hats off to him, because he was a relentless recruiter. He proved to John Harbaugh that they could have a working relationship, and he got him to buy in. And now that's where the New York Giants are. They're all the way bought in on a new process and a new program that's being rebuilt from the ground up, with John Harbaugh leading it and working collaboratively with Joe Shane. That is so overwhelmingly exciting to me. The New York Giants have given us every reason to be apathetic, to be lethargic when discussing this team, to really check out, and a lot of you I know have, but now we're all locking back in because we have John Harbaugh leading the show and rebuilding the Giants organization from the inside out. That's what they needed, and that's why we've been critical, really. It's because we wanted that rebuild to happen from a programmatic standpoint, but it's happening now, and I'm very excited for it, and I can't wait, Alex, to hear John Harbaugh speak as a member of the New York Giants tomorrow at noon. We can't wait for it. I know you guys can't wait for it. And you know we are going to have coverage of it right here on Fireside Giants. We're going to have a reaction episode tomorrow discussing his quotes. We're going to break it all down and give you guys our take. In fact, I might even go live and watch it on the channel with you guys. That's what I'm thinking of doing. Why not document the moment that I hear John Harbaugh speak as the Giants head coach for the first time and share that moment with all of you? That might be exciting. So stay tuned to that. Definitely subscribe to the channel if you're new. Definitely follow us on social media at Fireside Giants, because we're going to be posting all of the best quotes from the press conference tomorrow on the Fireside Giants social media channels. And make sure to leave a like if you enjoy this episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. Let us know, hey, do you like the analytics change? Are you happy that John Harbaugh is leading the show? Or do you feel like it's a little bit wrong? Should the GM be making the decisions? I know there is a loud minority of people who feel that way. So whatever your thoughts are, drop them down below in the comment section. And if you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. We'll catch you all in the next one. Have a good one. Let's go, New York Giants.
Perfect.